Welcome to the Teaching and Learning Innovation Center podcast. I'm Catherine Gies, the Coordinator of Instructional Technology here at Greenfield Community College, and I'm here with
Gary Ackerman, the Director of the Teaching and Learning Innovation Center,
and Jeff Galbraith, Professor of Business.
In today's episode, we're looking at an MIT study that explores the real cognitive cost of using AI, specifically large language models like ChatGPT, for common academic tasks, but in particular, essay writing.
Before we proceed, it's important to note that this study is available in a preprint release. So it's not been peer reviewed and it's not been accepted for publication yet.
It will be interesting to see, though, how the study changes during the review.
That is all true, and we can talk about it in more detail later, but first, let's talk about what they did. The researchers employed a really clever and comprehensive methodology.
Absolutely, Catherine. The study recruited a total of 54 participants aged 18 to 39 from five universities in the greater Boston area. Now, most of these students were undergraduate students, but some were graduate students, and some were in postdoc positions at schools. I think it's fair to say that this is a group who are comfortable with academic tasks. They were randomly assigned to one of three distinct groups for the three sessions. The LMN group was restricted to using OpenAI's GPT-4 as their only resource for essay writing. The search group engine group could use any website to assist them, but no LLMs were allowed. They mainly used Google with AI added to queries to ensure no AI-enhanced answers. Now, there has been some talk more recently about Google including AI-generated results in their searches, but that research was done before that announcement. And finally, the brain-only group worked unaided, and they relied solely on their own knowledge. Each participant completed three sessions under their assigned condition, writing essays based on SAT prompts, with 20 minutes for each.
There were multiple sources of data collected during the study. To understand cognitive engagement and load, they used electroencephalography. Easier for you to say, or EEGs. They recorded participants' brain activity using these measures. This allowed them to analyze neural activities during the essay writing task. But beyond the brain data, they also performed extensive natural language processing, or NLP, analysis of the essays. They were looking at things like named entity recognitions and n-grams, which are just sequences of words that folks are putting together in their essays. They even built an AI judge to score the essays, along with human teachers who scored the essays.
That sounds incredibly detailed. But what about the human element? How did they capture participants' experiences?
You know, that's where the post-assessment interviews came in. After each session, participants were interviewed about their approach, satisfaction, and critically, their sense of ownership over the essays they produced. And here's where it gets really interesting. For a crucial fourth session, 18 participants were reassigned to the opposite group. So, those who had used LLMs previously had to write without tools, the LLM to brain group, and the brain-only participants now got to use LLMs, the brain to LLM group, and they revisited topics they'd written before without prior notice of the group change. This unique design allowed for a direct comparison of the immediate and carryover effects of AI use.
I should mention as well that, you know, the AI judges were judging the essays, but there were also human judges as well.
Okay, so adults familiar with SAT and essays wrote a series of three essays. One group used an LLM, one group used a search engine, and one group used no technology. Then the brain-only group wrote an essay on a previous topic using an LLM, and the LLM group used only their brains for the final essay. The search engine group did not write the fourth essay. The researchers recorded brain activity as the participants wrote, and they had both AI and humans judge the essays. Finally, participants answered a brief interview before they left.
Yeah, you got it. They're also trying to answer four research questions. The first one, do participants write significantly different essays when using LLMs, search engines, or their brain only? The second research question, how do participants' brain activity differ when using LLMs, search, or just their brains? The third research question, how does using an LLM impact participants' memory? And fourth, does LLM usage impact ownership of the essays?
Okay, let's answer those questions in order. First, did participants write different essays based on the tools they used or didn't use?
They sure did. The differences are evident across multiple dimensions. The essays produced with the assistance of LLMs like ChatGPT were structurally, stylistically, and fundamentally distinct from those written using a search engine, and even more different from essays composed purely through individual thought. The researchers saw this in the named entity recognition, basically identifying specific people, places, or organizations, and engrams, which are sequences of words. The LLM-generated essays tend to exhibit a large degree of internal homogeneity. Those essay writers tended to use the same words. The researchers suggest the pattern generated by the LLM that were used to create the essays resulted in similar essays, compares to the unique, authentic voice of the participant who wrote their essays with brain only.
To expand on that, this homogeneity that Jeff mentioned isn't just about repetition. It points to a potential lack of divergent thinking. The author suggests using an LLM efficiently produces grammatically correct and coherent text for their essays, while the very nature of their generation process seems to lead to a more standardized output. Essays using the brain-only group, by contrast, demonstrate a much greater variability and unique expression in their writing. Even with a search engine, which provides information but requires the user to synthesize it in the essay, there's a much more idiosyncratic language and varied approaches to topic development in the essays that are written than with the technology. It highlights how the creative and critical thinking processes, or the lack thereof, influence the final written product in a very tangible way. Of course, there is some evidence as well that the LLM contributed to essays that deviated significantly compared to the brain-only group, pointing to different conceptual frameworks being employed by these two groups.
That is a crucial distinction. It seems the tool isn't just a medium, but an active influence on the content itself.
Of course, there is a rich literature providing evidence that technology is not neutral. The tools we have influence what and how we learn. In this way, the LLM and other AIs are not unlike other technologies.
Beyond these linguistic patterns, what about the practical implications, such as the author's ability to recall what they've written or how human evaluators perceive the quality of these essays?
This is where we see some of the most compelling evidence of a cognitive debt. Participants who relied on LLMs for their essays found it significantly more challenging to accurately recall and quote from their own writing. This contrasts with those who used a search engine, and especially to the brain-only participants, who demonstrated strong recall. When you're not actively constructing the arguments, retrieving specific phrases becomes more difficult because that a deeper encoding for memory just isn't happening in the same way. The effort is outsourced, and so is the retention.
Precisely. While LLMs are adept at generating text that can often be perceived as scoring highly by automated judges or even by human teachers for aspects like fluency and factual accuracy, there's a qualitative element that seems to be missing from the writing. Human teachers frequently describe the LLM-generated text as soulless. They were lacking the genuine personal insights, clear individual statements, and often they were containing standard ideas with recurring typical formulations. This makes the use of AI quite apparent to the discerning reader. The brain-only group essays, though sometimes shorter and perhaps initially scoring lower in certain metrics, exhibited a consistently high degree of distinctiveness from each other, suggesting more original thought and unique perspectives. The essays from the LLM groups also notably lagged in their ability to correctly provide quotations, which is a key academic skill.
So while LLMs offer undeniable efficiency, the trade-off appears to be in originality, deeper cognitive engagement, and the nuanced human touch. It's clear that the choice of tool impacts not just the written outcome, but also the cognitive processes of the writer. Let's change our focus now. In addition to the essays that were written, the researchers ask the question, how do participants' brain activity differ when using LLMs, search, or their brain only?
So the researchers measured three types of brain waves. Each is associated with a different type of cognitive activity, and they measured connections within the brains using these waves. They measured alpha waves, which are linked to internal attention, semantic processing, which is used to figure out the meaning of words, and relatedness. The higher alpha connectivity in LLM users suggested deeper thinking. They measured beta waves, which are associated with the executive function, active concentration, and decision making. They measured theta waves, which are related to memory encoding and retrieval, especially during creative tasks. And finally, they measured delta waves, which are often associated with deep cognitive processing and ideation.
This is a very interesting part of the research. Beta band activity, for example, is often associated with active cognitive processing, focused attention, and even sensory-motor integration. Basically, when your brain is actively working on a task, we don't often see that information when we see students writing essays.
And what specifically did they find for each group? Was there a clear difference between the LLM users and the brain-only writers?
Yes. For the brain-only group, the participants showed significantly higher beta connectivity. This suggests what the researchers called beta range coupling in the brains of this group. In essence, their brains were more actively engaged and connected across different regions. This increased activity likely reflects their sustained cognitive and motor engagement as they were constantly generating text, maintaining their thought processes, and even engaging in the motor work of typing.
So if the brain-only group showed more active engagement, what did the LLM group's brain activity look like in comparison?
Interestingly, the LLM group did not show increases in any beta connections relative to the brain-only group. In fact, most beta band connections were either stronger in the brain-only group or similar between groups. Some of the beta bands in the LLM group suggested stronger cognitive control networks in some areas. This implies that while LLMs can help with content generation, they might reduce the active, sustained cognitive effort and focused attention that's typical when individuals compose essays independently. The brain seems to be less fired up when it's offloading the creative burden to an AI.
That's a powerful insight. It suggests that while LLMs might streamline the writing process, they could also be altering the very neural pathways involved in deep cognitive work. So let's look at research question number 3. How does using LLMs impact participants' memory?
Yeah, that's a question that many researchers are actively investigating right now. And the emerging picture suggests an impact on memory, particularly recall and retention of generated content. While LLMs are incredibly powerful for creating text, the way we facilitate writing seems to alter how we deeply encode the information in our own memories.
So if someone uses an LLM to help write an essay, are they less likely to remember what they've written compared to if they wrote it themselves?
Yes. Studies have shown a clear pattern. Participants who used LLM-assisted tools to compose their essays consistently struggled significantly more when asked to recall specific details or provide accurate quotations from their own work. The brain-only writers demonstrated a much stronger and more accurate memory for their essay content.
That's quite a significant finding. What's the underlying reason for this observed memory deficit? Is it about the level of cognitive effort involved?
It largely comes down to the concept of cognitive effort and active processing. When you're writing an essay from scratch or even synthesizing information from a search engine, your brain is engaged in a complex series of processes: retrieving information, organizing thoughts, formulating sentences, selecting vocabulary, and maintaining a cohesive argument. This active engagement, the continuous generation of text, and the maintenance of a plan creates stronger memory traces. It's like building a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it becomes.
So if the LLM is doing all the heavy lifting, our brain isn't getting the same workout, so to speak.
That's an excellent analogy. When an LLM generates the bulk of the text, the user's brain isn't performing the same level of deep cognitive encoding. We're interacting with the output rather than actively constructing it from within our own cognitive architecture. This reduction in active processing means that the information doesn't get integrated into our long-term memory with the same strength or detail. While the LLM produces the content, the individual's memory for that content remains comparatively shallow.
And that makes a lot of sense. It highlights the difference between consuming information and truly creating it. So while LLMs offer incredible efficiency, there seems to be a trade-off in terms of how well we retain and internalize the information that we're working with.
Exactly. It's a reminder that tools, while powerful, can change the nature of our engagement with tasks. For learning and long-term retention, active cognitive effort remains key.
So that leaves the final research question. Does LLM usage impact ownership of the essays?
You know, to me, that's a really compelling area of the research, and the findings seem quite clear. Yes, the LLMs do significantly impact a participant's reported sense of ownership of their essays. There's a notable difference compared to that use, the LLMs use, compared to traditional writing methods.
So are we talking about a decreased sense of ownership for LLM users then?
Yes. Studies have shown that the group of participants who utilized LLMs to assist in writing their essays consistently reported a remarkably low sense of ownership over the final product. They felt less connected to the words on the page, almost as if the essay wasn't truly theirs. This contrasts sharply with other writing methods.
And that's a powerful distinction. How does this compare to those who use search engines or wrote their essays entirely by themselves?
The comparison truly highlights the impact. Participants who used a traditional search engine to gather information and then synthesize it themselves still reported a strong sense of ownership over their essays, although it was slightly less pronounced than the brain-only group. And that brain-only group, those who composed their essays solely through their own thoughts and effort, consistently claimed a full, robust sense of ownership for the vast majority of participants. They felt a direct, undeniable connection to every sentence.
So it seems the more direct the cognitive involvement in the creation process, the stronger the feeling of ownership.
So with this task, the intellectual heavy lifting, the unique phrasing, and the synthesis of ideas are largely handled by an external AI. That deep personal investment in the output diminishes. The essay may be grammatically correct and factually sound, but the intimate connection that comes from conceiving and crafting every word oneself is simply not there to the same degree. It raises important questions about authorship, creativity, and the very nature of human expression in an AI-assisted world.
So what do we think this has to do with students and teachers, especially here at Greenfield Community College? So what strikes me in this research is the fact that they explicitly say that AI gives us an adequate, for most purposes, writing that is reasonably well done and it's done quickly. But if we adopt the stance, if we all adopt the stance that becoming educated is hard work and just answering questions is not enough, then I think we're getting closer to what we need in our students. You know, even if we score well in a class without using AI, there's a good chance that that learning won't have the effects that it was supposed to have. And I think that the takeaway is that these essays, the brainwaves, the grades we get on the artifacts, you know, all of that stuff, it's kind of ancillary to the learning. I think it's ancillary. And I think the biggest takeaway that we can take from this article is that sense of ownership. You know, and if our students leave our classes without a sense of ownership in the material, no matter how it was done, then we haven't done our job and they haven't done their jobs. So I think what it all comes down to is students learning and what's going on in their brains and not necessarily what's on their papers.
You know, experience teaches us that lazy muscles and lazy brains atrophy when not used. To me, that's the biggest takeaway from the study. You know, at home, my hand weights will not build muscle sitting on the floor, and how I wish they did. LLMs will not build critical thinking by a user simply entering a prompt and capturing the result. For LLMs to build brain power, they need to work with the individual, similar to my exercising with weights. Engaging with LLM's output is important for developing critical thinking. There are many ways to do this, but I've discovered that applying something called vertical and horizontal analysis complements the LLM as a co-thinking partner. For example, in horizontal analysis, comparing AI outputs across multiple AI models and using vertical analysis to examine the structure and assumptions of the output and its coherence engages the user as a partner. Now, in my case, most of my use with LLMs is as a tutor. I highly recommend that use of an LLM as a tutor and to use it in role playing to help move your thinking along.
It sounds to me, Jeff, like what you're talking about is using the LLMs and the content that's generated with it from an LLM more as a source of information. So that becomes something that we interact with and we have dialogue with. But while we're building our own, we're writing our own essays, so to speak, when you do that, that information is then becomes a source of what we're thinking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know that this study is a lot to process for a lot of people. It's long, it can be very intimidating, and if you are hesitant towards AI and have feelings about AI in the classroom, then it does seem to confirm a lot of those thoughts. But I think the things that you have both already mentioned, using AI as a tool and making sure that students feel confident to take ownership of what they have created in class, is really important. I think a lot of this comes back towards students' confidence in what they have learned and what they are presenting to faculty and to their peers as, you know, sources of something they've created themselves. And I think that's really important to encourage students to be able to take risks and kind of make these mistakes, and then hopefully they don't feel the need to use an LLM to generate content because they'll feel comfortable doing it themselves.
So it sounds like we're talking about creating a classroom culture where it's not just about getting the right answer.
Yes. Yeah. I think so. That's part of the learning process, right?
Absolutely it is. And I think that's one of the things that we, you know, personally, I think we need to think about is a culture, you know. And I've been hearing about, you know, I've been working in education for a long time, and you know, for the last couple of decades, all we think about is data and think about the proxies of our students' learning and their outcomes. But you know, there's an awful lot that's much more important than that. And you know, I think that some students come into our classrooms thinking what really matters is, and it does for them. I mean, they want to get the grade, they want to get out and do the work, but it's becoming an educated person, and there's certain things that educated people do, and one of those things that we do is we don't just rely on AI to create our answers.
Which is why I've been doing research on applying Aristotle's virtue ethics to AI, and I've prepared some stuff that maybe Gary will share. But to me, if you want to be virtuous, you've got to work hard at what you're doing and not just simply say it's somebody else's work or just ignore the hard work. You're letting down your community, you're letting down your fellow students, and you're letting down yourself.
It's more process focused than results.
And with that said, it is important to notice that the script that we use for writing this was derived in part from some AI. Basically, I took some of my thoughts and so forth, and some of my summaries of the MIT article, and I took that work and I used I think I used one of them. I used Copilot or Gemini. I use these things frequently. But I had that create the script for what was going on. So, you know, this work was, it was derived in part from AI, but in part from my analysis of the article. So anyways, so I'm being virtuous now. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on the next episode of the podcast.